Father, we just want to thank you for this time, Lord. We just want to thank you for this entire time. Let every word be spoken of, Father, come from you, Lord Jesus. Let every word, Lord, your spirit filled of, Father God. Not from the carnal mind, not from the flesh, not from the feelings, but, Lord, according to your plans and according to your word, Lord. Let every word, Lord, carry that Lord, the multiplication effects of, Father God, the potential to grow. And I pray, Father, as it is, Lord, fertile, as your seed is fertile, as your word is fertile, and Lord, as the word falls into the ground, let it be fertile to receive it, Lord, and the word, Lord, become, Lord, big tree, Father God. Grow to be a big tree, and Lord, have a lot of leaves, and be fruitful, as if it is planted beside the river. And I thank you, Father, you are the river. You are the abundance that provides us in every area of our life. We thank you, Father God, for this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Last week we had, we talked about Book of Mark, Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark has been interesting to us. Gospel of Mark has been revealing a lot of things to me myself. Some of the words that we read, we don't understand. And now God gives you a different turn in the words, different time and mindset. What we speak about last week? Hello, church? Uh-huh. Jesus sending out the disciples, 2 by 2. Before that, what did we see here? Jesus was rejected. All right? Before that, we have talked about Jesus being rejected in chapter 6, verse 1 to 6. And then 7 to 13, we talked about how Jesus sent the people out immediately after being rejected. He even gathered them. Today, we will skip the part where, which is 14 to 29, it talks about beheading of John the Baptist. And I want to go on to next part. You have heard of this. Let's look at this message a bit differently from what we used to see before. Amen. Verse 30 onwards. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. But he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Amen. Now Jesus sent out his disciples to a place. He says, 2 by 2, you go out and minister. We asked 2 questions. I hope you got the answer for yourself. When Jesus was alone by himself, when the disciples was not with him, what was he doing? Number 2 question was, what did they preach? You all know that they preached repentance. But what did he do? Did he follow them? No. He was sitting down praying? No. He did not pray 24 hours. But he surely know he prayed for them. Right? Amen? So we pray today that God, as we go out, as we disciple others, as the theme of our church is to be discipled to disciple for next year. So when we disciple somebody else, we must let them go out and do ministering. Amen? Amen? Praise God. So today, now we come to a place where Jesus, when they came back, when all of them came back, he gathered them together and then he looked at them and said, come, let's go away from this place. Now, first of all, let us see how God works. God is a compassionate God. God is a God of goodness. God is a God who always sees things. Sometimes we see God is different. God is holy. So he's almighty. So he's far away from us. Right? Sometimes, many times when we pray, we find him very far away. God is far away from us. I can't reach God. God is something that I can't put a letter and reach him. I can't reach him with anything else. But God is far away. Many times even Christians believe and say, where is God now in this situation of my life? How many of you asked that? At least one honest person came up. Or two honest. 3 years come up. And I'm putting up my hands. I'm one of them. Don't be shy. There are times in our life we ask, where are you, God? God, I'm now dying, choking. I don't know what to do now. I'm drowning now. Where are you now, God? It's common for a man to ask because we do not understand the heart of God. If man understood the heart and mind of God, then we will not be like this today. We should understand the mind and the heart of God. So the heart of God is different. Heart of God, Jesus showed himself. Here, Jesus is displaying the heart of God at this time. In this chapter 6 of Gospel of Mark, from verse 30 onwards. He's displaying by action the heart of God. He, when he calls, is not separated from sinners. But he loved the sinners. That is why he sent his son Jesus Christ. So that there will be a change for the sinners. He did not kick them out and say, no, I don't want to be with you. If you see the Old Testament, he was always with them. Some or other always trying to come to them. Just like a lover trying to pursue his love. Every time that you see that they always fumble, they always fall down, the Israelites. Yet God showed his love. He went back and humbled himself and himself gathered them together. Although the people did not humble themselves, yet he went out and gathered them together. See the heart of God in the Old Testament? But now Jesus Christ displays the same heart of God because he comes from God. He is the Son of God. If we believe that he is the Son of God, then miracles will happen. Amen. Many of us doubt sometimes. Not the Son of God. We bring down the deity, the divinity of Christ so low that we don't see him as he can perform miracles. Amen. It's not about you believing. But it's about you being very too familiar. Remember last time, why was he rejected from his hometown? Because he was too familiar. Familiarity contemns. Is that right? Familiarity contemns. And I pray today, we will not be like that. When the two disciples came back, he was able to gather them and discuss with them. Know what happened. Talk to them. But what happened? But God is not far away from sinners. God is always pursuing sinners. God is always after us. God is always, wherever we are, he's trying to get us out from where you are. If you are in a pit now, God is pulling you out there. God is near us. That is why you celebrate Christmas and say Emmanuel. What is Emmanuel? God is with us. And I pray, next time onwards, what we'll do is, we'll write, you know, many of us have a cross, we've got a fish to say the sign of cross, sign of Jesus Christ. We'll write Emmanuel and write, God is with me. And tie it around our neck and walk around. That's better. When I ask them, what is the cross? Do you remember the cross? Oh, Jesus went up the Calvary, died la for me. It's so fast, no feeling at all. Jesus died on the cross, a shameful cross for me, a sinner, a dirt, a stinky man. Isn't that feeling? Is that compassion? But Jesus Christ is exposing his compassion to us here now. We must be reminded, God is with us. We must be reminded daily, God is with us. Jesus was with the apostles at the time. Though they left him two by two, but Jesus in the spirit was with them. Amen. Jesus knew what they did. If you refer to the gospel, which is also same in the other gospels, you'll find he knew what they did. He saw Satan fall down like lightning. It's described like lightning he fell down. And he says, don't marvel of what you have done. But be thankful that your name is written in the book of life. Amen. See, the heart of God is different. God is different. God is still with us. It's not that God wants to separate away from us. God wants to be with us all the time. And that's why he gave the name Emmanuel to his son, Jesus Christ. And he says, from now on, I'm with you. From today, from the day he was born, I'm with you. No longer I will sit in the throne room alone, but I am with you. I'll mingle with you. I'll live in you. I'll reign together with you. Amen. So Jesus, now when he gathered back, he saw the heart of God. God is not a God who does not care about his people. God is not a God who does not say, doesn't care. We didn't have a statue of God and say, God, I must take you wherever I'm going. No. God is a God who cares for us. He shows his care, number one, by the way his servants went out. His disciples went out to disciple. The first care he gives is, he gathered them and he says, I need you to rest for a while. Amen. Do you know, when many of us sometimes in our work, we get carried away, the work of God, including me. I love working. If it is about God, I can talk and talk and talk, and I like to do something about God. It excites me, every part of me now. I was an insurance man. No, every part of my blood is, no, every drop it comes out, it should be called insurance. I'm telling you today, every drop it drops out, it should be Jesus, 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 Jesus. Amen. That was a worldly thought. After knowing him, you know the sweetness of him. So he cares for every one of us. We get carried away. How many times in our activity, in our day, every day in our life, verse 30 says that, you know, he was caring in our activity. He was caring about the things that we did, that the apostles did. He asked the apostles what happened, you know. He talked to them what happened. He was interested in the things that you do every day now for God. He's interested in the things that we do in our lives every day. He's interested in the things that we are, whether we break it or we make it or we become whatever we are. He's interested in us. He's interested in every servant of his, every disciple of his, everyone who's called by his name. Jesus is a disciple of him. He's interested in the disciple's welfare. He's interested in what you're doing every day. If you're going out to preach, God is interested in what you're preaching. How excited are you preaching? If you are sharing something, a testimony, somebody, God is interested in you. God wants to know how you're teaching, how you're testifying about yourself and the way God has done in your life. God is interested in you, the way you went there and you were brokenhearted. God is interested in the brokenheartedness of yours. If you shared something with somebody, you are disappointed. God is interested in the disappointment that you had in your life. Our God is a God who is interested in everything that we do. Amen? He's interested in the activities that we do. He was interested in the activities of his disciples. He asked them what they did. They accounted for it. They accounted what they did and what they did all the time and what happened. So he was interested in the welfare and the work they do. Sometimes you ask, God, I can't go through with this. Where are you now? My work is so burdensome. I want to share a gospel to my own family member. They are laughing at me, ridiculing me. Why, Lord? It's your word. I'm doing your work. Not my work, your work. But God is interested. Let us know it today. God is interested in everything. Every testimony you speak to others, every word that you speak, the encouragement you give to somebody else, God is interested in your activity. Know that today. As he gathered his disciples, he asked them, what's happening? So is he interested in us? They told him all things. He gathered and they told him everything. They did not lie anything. If you look at the parallels and you'll find that they told a lot of things what happened. Oh, I saw this thing happen. I saw there was healing. There was this thing. There was the demon flee away. The sickness, oh, this cancer ran away. This sickness went away. Wow, they were talking about everything what happened. If I sent you all out today, and he come back. Every one of them got miracles. What will happen here? I say, tell me what happened. What will happen? Everybody will be shouting from your place. So we can't understand what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? We are excited. Yet Jesus listened to every one of them. What they did. See, if you've got a complaint in life today, that you go back and say, Lord, I've been presenting whatever I have to my family members. I'm trying to live my life the way you want me to be. A light and a salt. I find it difficult. You've got a complaint, talk to him. He's interested in knowing what's happening in your life. If a day was very heavy and you didn't know how to do it, there were decisions you blew. You were supposed to make some decisions, good decisions, but you blew the decision. Talk to him. He's interested in that also. If there's something that you've been pulling as a habit that you're getting out of it, you went out of it and went out of it, couldn't last morning give in to that habitual temptation, talk to him. He wants to listen to you. Because as he gathers his disciple, he wants to talk to us. When he talks, when you talk to him, he will be very quiet listening. A point of time, he will talk to you and tell you, my darling, my daughter, my son, don't worry. There'll be a word given to you. You'll find some kind of satisfaction in your spirit, man. Some kind of satisfaction in your heart that he spoke to God, that he heard you. For he cares for you. Amen? He cares for you. He cares for the activities that we are in every day. He cares for the things that we do every day. He says the world, you know, the purpose for him to redeem us is to care for us. The sole purpose he came here to redeem us is to care for us. Otherwise he will not come and give his life up for him. For us, all of us. Do not give up on Christ Jesus. Do not murmur about Christ Jesus, about God. Amen. I'm so excited. I went to the church there just now. They sang this song. Our God is an awesome God who reigns with wisdom, power, and love. That got excited about me. You know, every time I see the power, he reigns with power and his wisdom and his love. He cares for us, the love. That love is the love that was sent, that has been sent to become a human being. It's called Jesus. Jesus' name is love. Emmanuel is love. It's because of love that two persons gather together and they get married. That's love. God fell in love with us from the day he created us. Though we ran away, in Hosea, he explains it that, you know, people were like prostitutes running away. And yet he pulled them back. Even us today. He's fallen in love with us. His love is for you and I. He will never part from us. Understand this. Wherever depth we go in our problems, our lover is always with us. He's behind us. He's beside us. He's always caring, but we don't see him. We don't feel him. Because sometimes our heart is hardened. Why? Because we're excited about the things of the world. That is why Jesus said to come and rest for a while. Why rest? Why rest? When you rest, what happens? His advice is to rest. Why do you have to rest? Physical, not only physical rest. You rest, you have to have rest. Because the word of God says they had no time. There were so many people, they had no time to eat. So many people came to see him. And they were ministering. So Jesus said, now done. Come, let's go and rest for a while. I know you have not eaten because doing the work of mine. But you rest for a while. Physical rest is needed for our body. So physical rest helps us life. I've gone through my life when I've never rested sometimes. Out of excitement, out of love. But God loves me so much that he wants me to rest a day. So with you all. That is why he instituted Sabbath for all of us. What is Sabbath? To rest from work. Rest from the things that you are working on your mind every day and all the things. Come and rest. Rest in him. Rest in him. As you rest in him, you regain resources into your body. You regain strength into the body. Rejuvenation takes place into our body. That's how God built us. We need rest so that our rejuvenation, our cells can work together and come and feed and become alive for us. So we have the energy to go on for the next day. So he asked them to rest. First of all, physical rest. Physical rest as a Christian is important. In whatever work you do, you have to rest a day. Now I see nowadays, it's good that governments have given day. Many companies last time, private companies had Saturday and Sunday holidays. Now they give, governments also have Saturdays and Sundays holiday. Take use of it. Make use of it. Don't think, oh, God has given me, I take now Friday holiday, I'll go out somewhere and sit down. And you will drive all the way somewhere with a traffic jam and come back more tired than you'll be sitting down at home. Have you had experience? Yesterday I had that experience. I was supposed to relax in the afternoon and prepare the message. My son said, Papa, I just came back from thinking my company. I have to go for this dinner, you know, in Boddington. Can you send me up, please? I don't have any transport. Loving your son, what else you do? Okay, la, you took, woke me up from my nap. Okay, let's go. I didn't know the traffic was so bad. I excitedly said, yes, okay, son, I'll go. By about 2 hours, I'll be back here already. Less than 2 hours, I should be back here. I just drop him and come back. He said, Bayou Beach Resort, I know where is it like. So I know I'll just go and reach, drop him there and come off. Very simple. Sitting around only for 2 hours. But when I went, sitting on the road from here, from Bangi, not even Bangi, just immediately after Bangi, until the toll gate in Seremban, Poddington toll gate, it was 2 hours. I told my son, how are you going to rest now? Coming back was okay. But going there 2 hours on the road from Bangi after Bangi until, can you just imagine, sometimes we think our holidays are good, isn't that right? God gave me rest. Let me go and rest. Sometimes we must use the things around us here nearby. We paid taxes to the government. Government created some recreation around here. Use it nearby. Don't get stuck in a traffic jam. And the whole time you'll be cursing somebody. And at the end of the day you go down, your wife is the bad person and your children are the one because of them need everything. Come on. Let's take some rest. Let's take some rest and go and do something around town, around the place where you are. If you cannot sleep, you don't know how to sleep, ask me. I'll teach you how to sleep. Very simple. Say, Jesus, thank you, Lord, for the day. And I'm going to sleep now. Take care of me. Go. You sure snore. If you cannot snow, ask me, I'll teach you that also. God has given us a body to rest. Switch off immediately after the rest. Unless, you know, you're hyper, you cannot do. Right? God's idea is for us to rest, man to rest. You know, there was this, I read something about this man, you know, I was a little small, I don't know why, 3 weeks ago, about 4 weeks ago, I had this thing came up in my, somebody sent this to me in my internet. Mary had a little lamb. For her to keep. But then, it joined a local church, did so much work, and died for lack of sleep. I said, this is somebody who sent me a weird poem to me. I know one thing for sure, when I speak, many people are sleeping. Right? They surely will not die of sleeping of my message. But they were too active working and sleeping that they died out of it. Let's not be like that, okay? A disciple he sent was lifted up by the work God did through them. A disciple has to be lifted up in the work daily time. Our work in the Lord should not somehow or other be a heavy thing for us. Should not drag us. That will lead us to death. Lead us to physical death. Listen to things that we are not able to do. And you know, emotional death. And our mind also, we no more taste after that. We don't think. We become a robot. Our physical body has got rest sometimes. Amen? Praise God. God's purpose has to be fulfilled. He cares for the lost sheep. First thing you must understand, he also cares for before lost sheep, he also cares for his people. Sometimes when we are as a disciple, when you go out, you get gloated or carried away with the miracles God is doing through you. You follow what I'm saying? You get carried away That is the reason why I don't like people to say, Pastor James prayed this, that is this person. No, Jesus, we prayed in this church and God blessed my prayer. Because you can carry it away. You can become prideful. We call spiritual pridefulness. You'll be pride, very proud that God only works through you. God cannot work through you, anyone else. Turn to your neighbor and tell, God is working through you. His power is mighty in you. Tell your, His power is mighty in you. Turn around and tell another person. God is working in you. His power is mighty in you. So, when you say to somebody else, you're relaxed, la. No, not only me, la. Confess that others also are working. God is working in others. Don't think that you are the only one. You look at the mirror, oh, it's me. It's me. God is working through me. And you time spiritually floated and after that you'll see God doesn't work into you. You know why? Because you're boastful of the things God is doing. That is why Paul, I like him. He says, I am not able to boast about this man. Whether in body or in spirit or in natural, he doesn't know, but he knows that he went to heaven, third heaven. I know a man. He could have said, I went to heaven, you know, I went to third heaven, I saw. He could have written that. But he says, no. How many of you see him in heaven when you're living here? How many of you? Can you put up your hands? I've not seen it yet. So I did not say put up my hands. The sins, yes, I did. So I put up. So I've not seen the heaven, how it was like. But he went to the third heaven and he saw the spiritual realm in the third heaven, the second heaven, the first heaven. He didn't boast about it. He says, I know someone so close to me. He was not prideful of his things. God was working through him. God worked miracles through him. But he was not prideful about what he did. Because he knows he's one of the apostles called to the work of God. Not to boast about himself, but to boast about Christ Jesus is inside him that works in him. To boast about the Christ that he lives in us. To boast about the Christ that came here to save us so that we can do miracles in him. Through him. Amen. Amen. So we have to understand when we take rest, we do not gloat over the things. So when you draw them, not only physical rest he gave, he also gave them to understand it's not only you. So when everybody was speaking everywhere, if I ask you every one of us here, like Jesus standing here and I say, oh, I'll be speaking, God did this to me, you did this to me. Everyone was speaking. But when he says, rest now, tell me what you did. Okay, you already said what has John done. Okay, good. Then little by little you'll find smaller. And smaller. You only probably healed one person. The other person raised the dead. Oh my God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I must listen to the testimony of others. Then you will say, Lord, I'm still on the way for you to work through me. If there is anything that is stopping you from working through me, if you know my heart, I can be very prideful to remove it. Use me. Amen. There are some quiet people be sitting there, you know, they're working mightily, raise the dead, and you know, so many things happen, multiplication of food, and you're sitting down, oh, I healed this person, God use me, heal this person only, sickness only, one fever. You get Panadol also, people get healed. But Jesus that day healed the sickness, okay? So, but yet, we are so boastful about ourselves. So let's not boast ourselves. So when you go as a disciple, we are not supposed to be boastful. When you rest, not only rest physically, rest also spiritually, so that you do not be boastful of the things God did through us. Amen? Boastfulness brings arrogance. Arrogance to pride. And after everybody else below you is low, but you are the only one who's high. Because your nose is very high. Alright? So let's not boast about the thing. So God wants to see that we do not, even his disciples, he led them to rest for a while. So they rest in the spirit. Rest also in the things that God, without Jesus, they could have not done anything. But with Jesus, they could do a lot of things. Amen? Now the second thing he cares for the lost sheep. You understand that here, not only you took care of the disciples that he sent, but he also now he understood the people around him. He was in love with the people. That is why he sent them out two by two, so that they can go and speak the word of God, speak and preach the word of God, give the testimony at that time. What was the testimony? Hello? Was Jesus dead at that time? Was Jesus raised up from death? Was there Calvary work done already? Nothing. What was they preaching? Repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. Because God, Jesus is the kingdom of God. He is the kingdom of God. He is the ruler of the kingdom of God. So if you want that, repent, you want to enter into the kingdom of God. Salvation is through Jesus Christ. So as they were speaking, as they went out, there was salvation to people. As signs and wonders happened, at that time, even till today, people are seeking signs and wonders so they can know the mighty works of God. They can trust God. They believe God. How many of you see water only, you'll say it's water? How many of you see fire only, you say fire? Oh, some of you must feel it. Water, oh, now I feel like water. I see, I don't believe. I hear it's water. You know, John told me it's water. I don't want to believe him. I want to put my hand and see. Suddenly he says it's cold water. He says fire. Ah, yeah, what fire? I don't think it's fire. And then you get hands burned. You want to feel. Let's not go by feeling. Let's go by faith. Amen? Let's not go by feeling, but let's go by faith. Faith can bring us a lot of things. Faith can raise us up to many levels. Faith can bring us to the things that is impossible to be done by man and woman, but can be done by God. Faith can even bring forth, even nature, whichever earthquake, whatever comes, tsunami comes, or even whirlwind comes, faith can bring you away from that, or even tell that whatever disaster to move away from you. Faith. Amen? Let's believe in faith. God has said that, and He will do it. Because He loves the people. Why does He love the people? The Word of God says here, and He said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew Him, and ran there on foot from all cities. And they arrived before them and came together to Him. And Jesus, when He came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with what? Moved with what? Compassion. God, He was expressing the Father's love, the Father's compassion through the Son, Jesus Christ. He was expressing with the Father's compassion to the people. If you do some research, and you'll find if there's a Sea of Galilee, if you go by boat, it seems about 4 hours or something like that, you know, across the other side, 3 or 4 hours. But they said by foot, it's about 15 kilometers or 15 miles, around 15, 20 miles, they said. It's around. And the multitude at the time would be, say, how many thousands? I don't know, how many hundred thousands were there? But thousands were there, many hundred thousands were there. Maybe it could be 30,000, 50,000. Can you put a stadium of people, or about 50,000 people gathered together in a stadium? What is the number like? How would the field look like? How would it look like? Have you all had experience? How many of you had experience to see a field of people, about 10,000, 15,000 people? Okay, one person. You don't know how to see? Go and watch football, soccer. You see the stadium field. Right? That's how it's like. That number of people sitting there before Christ, and they're all running now. They know they're going to rest that side. They run around the circle around the Lake of Galilee or Sea of Galilee, around 20 miles to go and see Him before even He arrives. You see the enthusiasm? You see the desire? Do you see the hunger? Can you just imagine you move 20,000 people or 1,000 people at a time at one place, from one place to another place? You know how many people will be crushed? Have you had an experience? Have you moved in a crowd? Have you gone for a big walk or a big walk in a city last time you have? Malay male big walk? How many have you been? It looks like I'm the only sportsman. Brother, you see, when you go there, everybody gather around, no? And you want to be at the front. Some guys go in front of you. And as little as somebody else come after you. You are in the third row, suddenly you see yourself in the tenth row. You don't know how you came to the tenth row. And I've been there many times, and I've seen all the time, you want to be in front so that you can at least walk faster. You always end up somewhere else. Sometimes the 20th row, behind. I don't know how these people went in front. Then after when you walk, you're no longer in 20th, but you're somewhere in the 100th row. Why people, although you want to walk and fast, you know, people some or other are faster than you, they push you aside, and probably some of them kick you, and they'll be in front. Right now. I want you to just see, I want you to have the picture now, that people, about 20 to 50,000 people are now running from one side of the sea to know to go to the other side of the sea, or rather lake, it's a huge lake, to go. Those of you who came to Galilee, you'll understand. They were running from this side to go to the other side. Can you just imagine what would have been the crowd? How much of massive things would happen? Even if Jesus would have gone through the boat for 4 hours, these people reached there earlier than him. They were hungry for the word of God. They were hungry for Jesus Christ, the Emmanuel. They were hungry for the miracles that was happening. They were hungry for a change in their life. They were hungry that the things will not be the same in their life. Are you today hungry that something will change in your life? Are you hungry and desperate that that's God, Jesus, is here today and he's going to move something in me? Are you desperate? Are you hungry like this 20,000 people or 50,000 people running around? Among them were old people. Among them were women, pregnant probably. Among them probably some people can't even walk. And they reach before Christ Jesus. That should show the hunger. They were hungry for him. They were hungry for people, someone to lead them. No wonder the next verse he says that they were like people lost, like a sheep lost without a shepherd, a leader. He didn't insult them. Because why? Sheep does not know how to have directions. If you understand sheep, you go and read about sheep. Sheep doesn't know sense of directions. They always go around somewhere. That's why the wolves come down easily and get the sheep away. Do you follow what I'm saying? They're not smart. They don't have wisdom. They don't have sense of directions. They need someone to guide. If you see sometimes, there are some dogs. They train the dogs or even the horse to lead a sheep. Can you just imagine another animal leading another group of animals? But if you see a horse, you'll see a leader in the horse. Someone will be leading. Have you seen horses? Wild horses? Go and see the wild horses in the movie or go to geography. What do you call it? National Geography. You understand. Read about and understand. You see the birds. When they fly together, there'll be a leader in front. And when the leader gets tired, the second leader will take in control. Have you seen them fly? If you see a lion, when they go, where they will go, they have a leader in front. A tiger, same. Even those deer, they have leader. But the sheep does not have a leader. Because they're lost. He's comparing his compassion of God. God was looking at man and said, like a sheep, they went. It's not an insult to man. But they say they find that they don't have the wisdom. They don't have the direction. They don't know where to go, what to do. And Jesus, out of that, pour out his compassion like the Father God did. Though, you know, find the Old Testament, many times they have brought Baal, they have brought so many kind of gods in for them, and when they repented, God was merciful, and they were always loved for people. There was no condemnation. Amen? There was no condemnation. God took them back again. God took them back again. If you repent and come back my way, yes. For a while they stick with them and they go back again, and yet again God leaves them for a while, and after that they come back again. That's the compassion of God. That compassion is very difficult to get. How many times when you have somebody in your family or somebody whom you trust or you love so much betray you, go away from you? How many times do you feel hurt? How many times do you really want to love the person the same way you loved the first time? Can I ask you? It's difficult for me as a human being. I know that. To love somebody who has betrayed me or somebody who has hurt me so much, it's very difficult as a human nature. But God in his nature loves though you betray him. Though you went away from him. God loves. He's not judgment, but to give life. No wonder Jesus says, I've come not to condemn, but to give life, to bring eternal life to everyone. Amen? Amen? So Jesus looks at us, at the people at a time, as people, sheep, as if God is looking from there. God is seeing the people without knowing what is happening. They can stampede another person. They can punch another person. They kick the person. I wouldn't know. They wouldn't know. Walked on people just to reach what they want to get because they're angry.
When you are really desperate, you wouldn't know what you're doing. You wouldn't know you're hurting somebody else. But you're focused on what you want. That is why Jesus had that compassion. Compassion that poured out on his heart. And he said, out of the compassion, he went out to minister to them. Out of the compassion, he showed love to them. Out of the compassion that he said, he didn't reject them. Because some of them were pushing, some of them were kicking. Yet they all came to the place. Some those who were kicked, they were walked on, they came later. But those who ran earlier were there. But some or other, God did not reject any one of them. Question. How many times we put up with people who are very troublesome in our life? How many times do we put up with people, we live with people in our life without judging them, yet loving them? How many times your spouse, our children have crossed us? Does that memory of that what happened earlier still stick to our mind and don't love them, turn away from them? And every time there's a favor they ask you, you always remember what they did the first time? But Jesus forgot the first time. Jesus now sees this person as a new time. New season. How many of us in our life, because we are judgmental, some are condemned? How many of us in our life, when we walk, we don't have that kind of apathy, sympathy, or empathy, all of which works out powerfully as compassion? One word is compassion. How many of us have that? We are believers of Christ Jesus. That is why Jesus had this heart, a compassionate heart, a heart. That is why he says, unless you believe in me, unless you walk in me, unless you believe in me, and means when you believe in him, you must have the character of the master. You must have the belief, whatever his thoughts are, his words are, his ways of behaving. When you believe in him, you'll behave like him. When you behave like him, no wonder you can do marvelous works. Greater will you do, John chapter 14. Greater will you do things, miracles, signs, wonders, than me. Jesus says that. Why? He wants us to believe him as the shepherd, the master shepherd, the shepherd who came down from heaven, the shepherd who understood, who saw what man did and what how man behaved. We go by wind. We walk by wind. We walk by feelings. Somebody says something, we will follow them. Jesus does not have that. Jesus had a heart of compassion. The reason for his concern was because he came to give life. The reason for his concern and compassion was that he came to give life. So if you are going, even in your life, it is somewhere in your life, something has happened, something is condemning you, something's judgment is coming upon you. The reason that he died is because of you. If that love of Jesus Christ can pull you, allow yourself to be pulled, as like what these 20,000 or 50,000 people, I do not know the number, but God only knows the number. I believe it is more than 50,000 people who ran, was attracted by this magnetic love of Christ, the compassionate love of Christ. They ran, they found something in him. Amen. 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 See, whatever we are doing, which is not away, which is away from God, and we can be attracted for his magnetic, compassionate love, that healing can come. Whatever situation we are in, we can be redeemed from that situation. Because the magnet is Jesus Christ and no one else. It's not because of the disciples they went there, but because of Jesus Christ was there with the disciples. That is why people came. We have Jesus Christ in us now, in the power of the Holy Spirit. The same power, the same Spirit that resurrected Jesus Christ is in us now. Amen to that? Hello, come on, have a church say it's amen. Where every time you say amen, believe it. If you don't want to say amen, I want to pay a price today. Every one of you, every time no amen, you take out some money and come and put it here. Yes, Lord, I want to sow a seed into your life. If no money, take out whatever you have. Watches, everything, give it to God. God, yes, Lord, I want to live. It's so free of charge. Say, amen. Yes, Lord, amen. Amen. Say, amen. Yes, let it be done according to your will, the Father God. Amen. Amen. So when you receive the word of God, and God, because he loves, and you will be attracted as like a magnet to him, and because his power is so great, his compassionate power is so great, you can be overcome. Everything that in us can be overcome, because he overcame, and he's overcomer. When you live with the overcomer, you will be overcomer, and I will be overcomer. Amen. 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 So God's power is a power that attracts people to him so that they can be drawn. That's the reason why that he doesn't want to waste mankind. Mankind is in the image of God. So he sent his only son to be attracted. That even if people were attracted so much, even whatever happened that time, they do not know how many miles they ran. Maybe 14 miles, 15 miles, 20 miles. I do not know. But I know for sure they surely would have run more than 15 miles. They round the lake just to go to the place where Jesus was. That attraction power is in Christ Jesus. Whatever we are lacking, whatever we know we want, let us be it. Let us be pulled by that attraction power. The only thing you have to know is, don't look to the left, don't look to the right, only look forward. Don't look to the backwards, where your faults are before. We don't look backwards, what you've been not successful in your life. Look at what God can do in our life. Amen. Let's not look at backwards what the failures we've done. Don't gloat upon the things that you've done before. Oh, I was like this, I was like that, I was like this, I was a prime minister's number two. Doesn't matter. It's about what you're going to do. Matters more. Amen? There was an attraction power in these people. They ran. Not only did they get healing, they did not only get powers that whatever they wanted, they also were fed by his compassion. They were fed physically with bread. When the deserted place, there was no bread, there was no meat, God supplied with that little, he multiplied and gave. Even food, brothers and sisters, whatever situation, food means anything that needs in your body, that anything that needs in your life to live, sustain your physical body, to live in this world, God will provide because of multiplication power. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So God is going to sustain us in every way. God is going to, there was attraction because there was this sustaining power of God inside him, inside Jesus Christ, that attracted every one of them, and every one of them ran towards it. Are we willing to run to that sustaining power of God? Are we willing to run to that sustaining power of God on earth, in heaven? Amen. Amen. So we have to change our thinking, our methodology, our way we see. The concern that he has for us is greater than the concern that we have for our mankind. The concern that he has got for you is greater than your parents got concern for you. His concern is greater than any other concerns. I can come and tell you, I'm so concerned about you, sister or brother. I don't know what's happening to your life. What is it? That is great. That is just little. Maybe a dust, speck of dust in the eyes of God. The concern God has got for you is like sea. Amen. Praise God. So some of them, every one of them, ran out to him to receive that concern, to reach out to the concern that he had, to reach out that sustaining power he had. So we have to go and say, I'm concerned, my brothers and sisters. I preached about it. Yes, we have to be concerned as a church member. I told you, it's a requirement for every Christian to be concerned for another Christian. It's a requirement for members of the body of Christ to be concerned for each other. But remember, his concern is greater. It's a requirement. I'm not saying it is just, as a Christian, come to church and go. It's a concern. You must be concerned for a member of a body of Christ. You must be concerned for the saints of God. But always remember that it's the power comes from him. And the concern comes from him. The attraction, the power of attraction for compassion comes from him and no one else. So that we will not be defenseless. When we defend, we will not be able to be lost in our way. He is our way. Right? We will not be dumb, like sheep are dumb. Bah, 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 bah. I don't know how does a goat, how bad is it? Whatever we do, we are like dumb. We don't know what else to do just to say one word, and that word is always repetition. I don't know. I'm helpless. I don't know. I'm helpless. I don't know. I'm helpless. Does it sound like a sheep? Baba, 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 baba. Does it sound hallelujah, hallelujah? No, it doesn't sound. It says baba, baba. Same way, we always say one same, one rhythm. I don't know, I'm helpless, I don't know, I'm helpless, I'm bad in this situation. So we should not be like that. I know Christ who lives in me can drag me out of this. I cannot confess that word. I cannot confess that negative word in my life. For God is good. Because He is so positive. The positiveness of God attracted every one of them. Whatever negativeness they had to overthrow and attract. There was a disturbance. There was a mountain before them. The mountain was the lake. They can't swim through the lake because it's far. Because it's deep. They couldn't swim through. There was an obstacle, but they went around to get to Jesus Christ. Whatever obstacles we have, whatever thinking we have, let it not hinder us from getting this power of Christ Jesus. This compassionate power of Christ Jesus. These people at least found the ground. Ships cannot swim. Do you know that? Ships cannot swim. They cannot swim. They don't know how to swim. That is why they ran on the land. Same way. Find a way. Whatever areas is obstacle we cannot handle, go around to seek only Jesus Christ and not that obstacle. Let not the obstacle hinder you from being from this attraction of Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ and no one else. Amen. The response for his concern, the word of God says, not only he taught them, he gave them the word of God. The word of God is life. Amen. He spoke life into them. Amen. The word of God here says that he taught them, he spoke to them. The word of God in the Bible says is life. He gave life to them. Not only in the physical form, but also in the spiritual form. He fed them with food so that they can have the physical form. But they also received sustenance in the spiritual realm. Because that was life. His word was life. So brothers and sisters, today we are looking at ourselves. Whatever obstacles we have. Whatever things that we are gloating on. Whatever things that we are lost in like a sheep. We do not know the direction. There's only one answer. Jesus Christ. As a disciple, every disciple understood they have to take rest for a while. Rest from the physical things that he has done. He is concerned about our physical body. He is concerned about our spiritual nature so that we do not boast in our spiritual nature. Our spiritual nature comes from Jesus Christ and no one else. It doesn't come from us. It comes from He is the source. He is the life. He is concerned for those people who are lost in life. Those people who are needing Him. He is concerned for them. You do not know what. Some of them are running only for miracles or physical good. Doesn't matter. But he's concerned for them. He's concerned for every one of them who's lost. He's concerned for us. Even those we are saved, we are some of us behave like we are lost. Hello? We are saved. What we behave like the old way, like as if we are lost. We have no more power. So we ourselves to find Jesus Christ. We ourselves to have got to be attracted by, as a Christian, to the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? So God doesn't only does performance of work in you, but also His concern. His teachings are the one which keeps us, sustains us. His words are the one which sustains us in the spiritual realm. His words are the promises that we have to take. And the physical form He'll take care. Amen? Maslow's law of hierarchy. How many of you know the Maslow's law of hierarchy? What is the basic bottom? It's a pyramid, isn't it? Physical needs. Jesus' law of hierarchy of needs is very simple. The base is not physical need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and everything else shall be added unto you. Your physical, your spiritual, your family, your finances, whatever holiday you want, everything is added unto you. So before Maslow came out with that theory, Jesus already got the theory. They copied from Jesus Christ and made it into worldly. The base is always, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye Jesus Christ and everything else shall be added unto you. Amen. Run. Run as if you've got no other time. This is the only time you're going to run. Run until you reach to Him and receive that. And that is the kingdom of God. Everything else shall be added unto you. Amen. Praise God. Father, we just want to thank you, Father God. You're concerned for us. You're so concerned for us. You love us so much. You're compassionate for us. That you only send your only beloved son. Your only son who became man. That Lord, a creature you created. That he man, God himself became the creature that he created, Lord. So that we can be saved. So that we can be, Lord, be the one who will be receiving that power. That will be receiving that high level of power. The energy that you have given us, Father God. That the compassion, we can come unto your compassion. And in your compassion, we can never escape. You will be attracted. We will be attracted to you like a magnet. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for that magnetic power. That power which surpasses even any greatest magnet in the world. But your power is greater than anything else in the world. Your love is so great. Your compassion is so great. We pray, Father God, today, that everyone here is seeking something. Some of you are seeking some miracles in your life. Some of you are seeking health problems. Some of you are thinking about some of your problems in your mind. You've got a mind problem. Your problem of sleeping. God says today, God is going to do something in your life. God, believe in him and nothing else. Some of you got problems in your body. God says today, he believe in me. I'm a miracle performing God. Everyone ran to me. He says, God today, everyone ran to me. They did not see how many miles they have to run. They did not see how many thousands of people they have to run with. But they ran so that they can get that miracle power. Lord, we desire that kind of miracle power, Lord Jesus. We desire that people had. We desire that kind of power, Lord, that kind of urgency they had in their life. Lord, so that, Lord, you can heal us today. Touch every one of us today, Lord Jesus. Let's rise up. Let's rise. Lord, touch everyone here today, Lord. Just close your eyes. Lift your hands up. Close your eyes and lift your hands up. See yourself running. The Sea of Galilee is quite big. I do not know what's the circumference of the Sea of Galilee. But I know he went towards the deserted part. And people ran. I believe at least about 20 miles they would have run to this place. Lord, I want to run. To run to you, Lord Jesus. To run to you for an answer today in my life. To run to you, Lord, for the things that have been hindering in my life. To run to you, Lord, the love that I did not get from man and woman, a father or my children. I will get it from you, Lord Jesus. I will run to you, Lord, today, Lord. That my sickness, I can't even walk today. Lord, when I run to you, everything else will be well, Lord. I run to you today, Father God. My family life is not right. The way I live is not right. But I run to you today. In your compassion, you shall do something today. Change my heart, change my mind. The way I live, Lord. With my own desires, habits. Lord, change. That every word that comes from my lips will be, Lord, life-giving word. For I believe in you. Because I believe in you, I have life in you, Lord Jesus. So every word that comes from my mouth shall be life-giving word. Shall not be a condemnation. Help me, Lord, remove every word that is not necessary to be said. Remove from my lips, Lord, every word that is not right in your eyes. Lord, our mind, Lord, today. Our mind plays tricks in our life. Lord, we want to run to you, Lord, that you can touch our mind today. That our mind will focus on the good things, not on the evil things. Lord, we want to have your mind today. Lord, our heart, Lord, we want to have a compassionate heart, Lord, today. Only you can give us the compassionate heart. Lord, you have got an entire compassionate heart, Lord. The universe even can't measure the compassion you have for us. But we only ask of you, Lord, the compassion that carries us through in our life. Give us the compassion, Lord, that whomsoever comes across our path, that we will have that compassion. Give us the compassion, Lord, we pray today. The compassion to love the unlovable. The compassion to love without judgment. The compassion to love without remembering the past. Give us a mind, Lord, and a heart Lord, today we seek to your compassion, Lord. That everything that is lost in our life, it's not about what we have lost, but what we have in you, Lord Jesus, today. Lord, we want to seek that compassion, Lord, in you. We know, Lord Jesus, you'll make a way when there is no way. We don't want to look backward, Lord, today, for what we have failed in life. But we want to see, Lord, that the compassion you have for us and what you'll do for us in the future. Everything that is broken, you'll make it new, Lord Jesus. Every organs that is not working in our body, you'll give us a new organ, Lord. Every skin disease we have, Lord, remove the skin, Lord. Give us a fresh skin. Every part of body is yours, Lord. Change our willpower, Lord Jesus. Our will is to only run after you, not to run after the things. For your word says, Lord, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Lord, we want to seek you first. You are the kingdom of God. You are the word. You are life. You are the resurrection. You are the overcoming. Lord Jesus, we want more of you. More of you, Lord Jesus. Let this church be filled with more of you. Let everyone who comes here, Lord, for shelter, they'll find more of you. More of you. More of you, Lord. We have nowhere else to go, Lord Jesus. We have nowhere else to go. Every rejection we receive, Lord. Only you, Lord. Like a mother, like a father, embrace us, Lord. Only you, Lord, today. Take our hearts. Take our mind. Take everything in us. We surrender to you. We run to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your compassion. Thank you, Lord, for your love. In most precious name of Jesus Christ.